of Humboldt retired. Her last day was last Friday. So I really want to say congratulations to Kathy. Most people that call in to speak with the supervisors or have an email sent or anything have spoken with Kathy or been, interactive with her. She was a great asset to Humboldt, and a great asset to the county organization. So we wish her well in her retirement. And her husband are going to fish, they say. They love to bass fish.
Excellent.
So thank you for having me today, and all have a good week.
Yes,
thank you too.
Thank you, Michelle. And we'll hear you again in a month.
Yes, thank
Okay,
you. Bye bye.
bye-bye.
If anybody is out there and could communicate with Dennis, I hear an echo in the sound here. I pick up on Jeff's too. I don't know if that's coming over the radio like that or not. So, Chris, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Good. Do we have an echo in our voice? Are you hearing an echo?
A little bit, not much.
Okay.
As long as it's not too much.
I'm not noticing it at all on this set of
so you're,
earphones.
You're not on the Zoom call, Jeff. You're just directly here in the studio, right?
Right. Yes.
Me too.
Oh, wait a minute. There, I just heard it. Interesting.
Okay, so that seems to be better. Whoops, okay. So, Chris, you might want to pick up on continuing with what you want to present, and there's different
people. Can't hear you at all, Richard.
Okay, and we're also at the top of the hour, so my guess is that Nathan's going to have to identify that this is K-Mud and make any announcements that are pertaining to the rest of the programming for the day, the weather, etc. He's
I don't know. Can you hear me now, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll just put up a little bit of echo. Dennis is moving all around trying to get things squared away. Dennis, do you need to do some weather kind of bit here? Then we'll be right back, Chris. Dennis is working it.
Oh, yeah, my man. Working it. Here we go.
Here we go. I hear the...
Yes. Echo. Echo. It's unusual. I don't know why it's happening. It wasn't there before. But here we are in an echo chamber. Here's the weather that echoes around the world. A mix of sun and clouds and mainly dry conditions expected today and Tuesday. A few showers are possible. This afternoon in Humboldt and Del Norte counties, rain and winds are expected on Wednesday. Additional weather systems may bring more rain late in the week and into the weekend. Along the coast today, mostly cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, 40% chance of rain showers late in the afternoon, highs in the mid-50s, west winds up to 10 miles per hour. The interior today will be partly sunny, patchy fog in the morning with areas of frost late in the morning, 20% chance of rain showers late in the afternoons, highs 43 to 53, south winds are up to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 20% chance of rain in the evening, patchy fog after midnight, lows 33 to 39, northwest winds up to 10 miles per hour. The tide's going out. It was low at 7 a.m. It was at 1 foot. The high tide will be at 1:18 p.m. It'll be 6 feet, 3 inches. A substantial tide. And again, low at 7:03 p.m. at 1 foot, 1 inch. There was an earthquake last night, 12 kilometers west-southwest of Ferndale, a 2.8 magnitude. That was at 11:58 p.m. last night. I want to tell you that KMUD programming is underwritten in part by Redwoods Rural Health Center at 101 West Coast Road and Redway, offering medical, dental, behavioral health, perinatal, acupuncture, suboxone, nutritional counseling, phone and video appointments. Practicing respectful, holistic, and integrative care, Redwoods Rural Health Center can be reached at 923-2783 for medical or at 923-4313 for dental. There's information at rrhc.org or on their Facebook page. Also supporting your community radio station in the Redwoods is Pearson Building Center on South Broadway in Eureka, celebrating over 55 years, serving the community with quality building materials, lumber, and a complete nursery at the sign of the Big Hammer. You tuned in to Monday Morning Magazine. This week's host, Jeff Adine and Richard Ginger. And back to you, gentlemen.
Okay, you were echoless until the very end there. We'll see. Okay, so we have a number of people on with Chris. And Chris, maybe they should introduce themselves, and then you all can discuss what you want to discuss.
That would be fantastic. And let's begin by the primary host at KMUD. Richard, maybe we can do an introduction of you. Sure.
don't you do that. Jeff Hedin and I co-host, and I moved with my young wife at the time in 1971 and got involved in first building, worked for White Stone Construction a little bit, but then got embroiled in homesteading. We had three kids and watershed restoration and fighting of watershed and forestry issues. And one thing led to another, and our life was taken up in that struggle. And some of the highlights were the EPIC versus Johnson lawsuit, that EPIC and International Indian Treaty Council and Robert Sutherland and Fred Coyote Downey and myself joined against Georgia Pacific and CAL FIRE, and that resulted in a landmark case that still hasn't been adequately implemented about failure to consider cumulative effects, failure to consult adequately Indian people, and failure to assure that the Native American heritage in California was being protected. And, of course, CAL FIRE messed up on a specific requirement for public input. But anyway, so that's that kind of a synopsis, and I'm involved right now with Redwood Forest Foundation Incorporated in watershed restoration, and we're trying to go at things in a way that comports with what we've been talking about.
And I arrived here in 1968, basically, after graduating from university in 66, looking at a going on to graduate school in anthropology and watching as the Vietnam veterans were returning and showing up in Anthro 101, 102 classes and thinking, I am not prepared to teach anthropology to these people who have just spent a couple of years in the U.S. Army and in the Vietnam conflict. So I joined the Peace Corps, got drafted out of the Peace Corps, trained as a medic, sent to Vietnam myself, served as a medic in a reconnaissance platoon, came back to the university, and wasn't quite ready to resume academia. went back to apprenticing with my grandfather, doing cabinet work and building houses, and came here to be a village carpenter and control materials from the tree to the finished product, and found myself swept up into the whole issues of landscape management and how to keep the soil actually on the land, post-extractive logging issues, and turning to EPIC and the Institute for Sustainable Forestry for some guidance in how to go about being a positive force in the environment, in the biosphere in particular, and slowly learning the degree to which, as a biosphere, we are incredibly wedded to the geology of our being as a planet. And so here I am this morning. Getting ready to listen to people who have followed a completely different cultural path to facing the same issues.
Well, thank you, Richard and Jeff. My name is Chris Peters, and I'm the president of Seventh Generation Fund. It's a 47-year-old organization, a small foundation. We raise money each year and give it away to grassroots and community projects, primarily traditional projects. And I'm Yurok and Kedrick Indian from Northern California. I'm the 11th of 12 kids, very, very modest background, and looking at a very bright and lustrous future. So let's move on to Michelle and Michael and Perry and Jason and Nicole.
Yes, hi, good morning. My name is Michelle Merrifield. I'm a enrolled tribal member from the Round Valley Indian Tribes. I am a descendant of the Wailaki, Nomalaki, Caddo, and Little Lake Tribes. My permanent residence is here in Round Valley. So I'm here today to just let people know that my voice matters in this Great Redwood Trail proposal, and I just don't see what's so great about it. You know, myself, my own opinion on that. So I just have a lot of concerns. You know, with regarding to that trail, that it shouldn't go through, you know, certain areas because of our ancestral village sites. And there's a whole lot of stuff that comes up around that trail. And I'm just telling people that for 316 miles of this trail, that railroad has already gone through there and has desecrated a lot of property for tribal people along the way. And at that time, we didn't have a voice in 1910, 1915. And, you know, so now we have a voice and it's going to be heard. And, you know, and I hope people take note of that, that we are still here. Our tribal people are still here. And I just tell them, I said, you invite more people out there, you're getting more trash, you know, because the railroad has left their trash there with the rail tracks, being, you know, left there, and they're all over the riverbanks, you know, and detrimental to the wildlife and the aqualife. So, you know, and I feel in my heart, my inherited duty to protect the natural wildlife and have it stay wild. And that's where I stand. Oh, thank you.
Michael.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Michael Regosa. I'm an enrolled member of the Pascente Band of Nomalaki Indians, based in Corning, California. I graduated from Humboldt State in 2020 with a degree in environmental studies, and I've been working with SGF for 6 months now. I work as the program officer for cultural projects directly with Chris. And so I'm just happy to be here and fund Native Indigenous communities across Indian country. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I don't know if Perry is still tuned in or
Oh, here we go. Yeah. What I said was, good morning. My name is Perry. I'm Kinestet. And my grandmother's side comes from the Eel River Canyon, what we're talking about, Dobbins Creek. And then my grandfather's side is Yuki on the middle fork of the Eel River. I'd like to say first, Skoyanakoi and Waklau for Chris being here with us today and sharing his insights. And, you know, that's one of our biggest things right now is getting people together, trying to bring people together that can share things that they've done in the past and ideas that are very important for us. This is, you know, not only are we meeting landowners because we don't have land in our ancestral homelands, and we're, you know, meeting like Six Rivers and National State Park, BLM, but we're meeting other landowners. And so we're also meeting each other too. Wailaki people have been spread out all over the place. We got, you know, I think most of the membership of Wailaki people are in Round Valley, but, you know, probably two thirds of that membership is spread out all over the place because of economic, you know, the way the economics are, you know, a large numbers in Sacramento and the Bay Area and just spread out all over the place. And then there's a number of people that are not even federally recognized. So we're all trying to come together in our meetings that we've been having, our coalition meetings, specifically on that trail that Michelle talks about. You know, we're meeting the landowners and the people that live in the area, plus we're meeting each other, and it's just been a, you know, really good journey so far. It seems like every time we have a meeting that we have to kind of reintroduce everyone and our you know, what we think about the trail. And we've been going to, like, we're going to the supervisors meeting on the 28th. We've been to one in Ukiah last month. So I'd like to talk a little bit more about the trail later after introductions are over.
Good. Is Jason around?
Yes. Hello. Good morning. My name is Jason Franklin, and I'm a Wailaki descendant, Wailaki person. I'm not sure what else to say. I live in Laytonville. You know, your guys' thing is the seventh generation fun, and I am seven generations from contact, and my people were taken to New Mexico, and now we're back home, you know, and we're involved in some things, and it's really, really nice to see that this is happening. Where I grew up and how I grew up, I didn't even know that there were other Wailaki people or that we had cousins and stuff like that until about 10 years ago. So this is really exciting, and met some really wonderful people, and I'm happy to be involved, and thank you.
Good. What about Nicole? Is she around?
Hey, Tanani, Sintama, hail, hail. My name is Nicole Whipple. I'm a member of the Round Valley Indian Tribes, and I am Little Lake Pomo, Yuki, Maidu, Konkau, and Nomalaki. And so I really thank you for being here, allowing us this time to speak and share. I am many, you know, the majority of my tribes are Eel River tribes, and in our time during the working on some legislation for our Yuki people, you know, it was very, we were very adamant about protecting our cultural sites and our, you know, our people's lands and territories. And I appreciate the time and appreciate the guests, the hosts, for sharing their experience, because that's where we are, is that, you know, Round Valley has many, many lawsuits already that have, that are in place. We have precedents, legal precedents, and as well as, you know, the trust responsibilities that we're claiming as we talk about the obligation to make contact and consultation, meaningful consultation with our tribes is nothing new. It's just we've never had that voice to actually exert it and are the means to stand up for ourselves and, hey, this is our right. And nobody was running to us saying, hey, you Indians, don't you know you have this law and this right? Well, if you pay to get in the door, get your foot in the door, then you can have a voice. And we didn't have that until now. So I reiterate Michelle's sentiment that, you know, we're here to speak on our matters and we care. Thank you.
Good, good. Hey, is there somebody, Perry or Michelle or Nicole or Jason can summarize what goes on with the Great Redwood Trail? I mean, we've been hearing a lot about it, and we support at Seventh Generation Fund some opposition or some we support the Great Redwood or opposition to the Great Redwood Trail. But is there somebody here that can, in a nutshell, kind of summarize what's going on?
Well, I think that Michelle kind of summarized it a little bit, but you know what she was saying too, and I'll give time for other people to join in, is that in 1914 when the railroad got built, you know, we didn't have a voice at all. Nobody was going to Native people. It was a celebration, a time of acquiring land. You know, the conquerors or whatever, whoever they want to call themselves at that time, were proud of taking things from people and having these wars and all that kind of stuff going on and stuff, you know, and for us, you know, they seen us as a conquered people. This is our place to do things. And it's kind of the shadow of that is showing again today, because we've heard, and it's really upset a lot of people. We've heard that, oh, this is our land. We can do whatever we want by the people of the Great Redwood Trail. And you know, what I want to say is the cultural resources areas, which covers quite a bit of the area of where we used to live and where we still would like to have access to, isn't owned by anyone. Nobody can own our ancestors' bones. Nobody can own our spiritual places that we pray at and we hadn't had access to, our village site. Nobody can own those places. We're the only ones that has access, should have access to those places to do what we did in the past. And if we choose to invite people from, you know, non-Native or other tribes, then that's our choice. It's not up to anybody else to say, oh, this is ours now. We built the railroad over it, and it's ours. And so, you know, that trail has been in the Eel River Canyon has gone through right through village sites, and you know, in a nutshell, like Chris is saying, and that's what we're trying to help to reroute the trail. If the trail's not going to stop, there's no way to stop the actual trail, then we'd like to actually reroute it and put it in a place where, you know, a place where everybody can kind of agree on. And Vernon Wilson was saying that, Woods was saying that they already have a trail, the Highway 101, that's their trail. Look how big that is. There's enough room on the side of the 101 to walk on. And that's a big point there. That is their trail, you know, that they made in light of all the conquering and all that stuff that's happened, you know, that's those things are really apparent in, especially in Mendocino County, where, you know, it's a little bit different from Humboldt County. I know at Humboldt, the Yuroks and the Karuks and the Hoopas have really made a big stand over all these years and kind of lead the way as far as cultural management, you know, and today they're the most, you know, I've always respected the Klamath River tribes because of still having the dances and the languages and, you know, and here we are trying to, you know, bring our pieces back together with support from the other tribes. So anyway, I'll let somebody else talk too.
Michelle, do you want to add to that?
Yes, thank you, Chris. Yeah, so that's what I was saying. That's an our inherent duty, you know, to try to protect and preserve, you know, the natural wildlife out there and the aqualife, you know, because we are fish people, and that's what our people survived on and gathered around, you know, and had celebrations for and ceremonies for. And, you know, we're a people of appreciation, appreciating everything, you know, everything has life to it. And that's, you know, from our creator, our higher power. So, you know, I was had a conversation with Nicole last night, and I said, it feels like genocide all over again, because they're going through an area that has been, you know, picked from with bones, you know, arrowheads, a lot of our pottery, baskets, beadwork, you know, and those are burial sites as well in those areas. And that the Eel River, the corridor there through that whole area, there's like, I mean, we don't even know how many exactly, but on the maps it shows hundreds, you know. And I shared that with the community here in Round Valley just last Friday, and they were, I mean, they had their mouths open, because they just couldn't believe that there was that many village sites out in that area. And I'm like, yeah, that's where we're from. We didn't just up and say, hey, that's a beautiful valley, well, let's move there. You know, we were forced here, forced to this valley, and forced off our own homelands, you know, where our great-greats, you know, were lived, our ceremony areas, you know. And so unless they had that experience, they don't know what that's about, you know. And I read a comment from somebody said, you know, I'm sure they were meaning our Native American peoples, that you were okay with the railroad going through, and you're not okay with this trail going through. So it feels like some people are needing a history lesson all over again, you know, with the California Indian tribes, and especially the history of Round Valley, you know, what came about that, you know, the slaughtering of a lot of tribal people that happened to corral the indigenous people in this area. So it feels like they're opening a wound of that for our people. But, you know, we, in this case with this trail, you know, we want it to work out for all of us. You know, we're not totally against this trail. You know, some of them aren't, but I personally am against this trail at all, because of, like Perry said, it's Highway 101. You know, there's other highways that need attention, and they can put trails along these highways just as easy as this railroad track. And, you know, and I just believe that this trail is going to be a lot of opening for, you know, just it's hazardous. The terrain out there is hazardous, you know, just in that sense. Plus, if you have a trail back there, who knows who's going to be back there using. And a lot of people had voiced their opinion from Willett South, you know, in Ukiah area, that there's a lot of homeless people that will just love a nice trail in the backwoods that nobody's going to be policing and running them out of. So that opens a lot of that as a concern, you know. And for the environment, we have some endangered animals up there in the canyon, I mean, on the Eel River bank, and so that it's just detrimental all the way around. That's why I keep saying I don't see what's so great about this trail. And Mike McGuire's office is still celebrating that, and he's projecting $102 million a year of revenue coming in for these smaller towns all the way, you know, from Eureka to San Francisco. So I would like to call our tribal councils, you know, together along this whole trail from the Yurok to the Miwok, you know, and see where we're all, what we all think about this trail as a collective, and what we can come up with as an alternate route for you know, Mike McGuire's office. So,
good, good. Hey, how much of the trail as it is currently situated will be impacted by traditional villages? Are we still talking about, and Michelle's position of she stands firmly against doing anything on the trail, which is good. But Perry's comment, there is going to be a trail anyway. How much of it will be impacted, and how much of it is will we negotiate that? Do we have that down on paper at some point?
I think it's 160 miles from the Dos Rios Bridge to the Wiat Reservation. And so that whole area, and that's not counting Outlet Creek or anything between Highway 101 and the Dos Rios Bridge, which is probably another 20 miles. So there's close to 200 miles of traditional land, river lowlands that were all village sites that are going to be impacted by the trail.
Good. So that area, 160 miles, excuse me, is in jeopardy right now, or is impacting traditional places.
It was already destroyed with eminent domain when the railroad went through. Those village sites, I think there's 140 registered village sites between Dos Rios and Alder Point. And when they did eminent domain and put the railroad through, which has been defunct, I think, since the 60s, they pushed right through all of that. They pushed right through the village sites, the burial grounds. I mean, there was massacre sites with the people's belongings laying there on the ground. Diana Totten has firsthand knowledge of that in the surveying portion of the railroad and talks about it, you know, like she found all these beautiful things laying on the ground. And she had a Wailaki elder tell her, you know, those things weren't left there. Those things took months or years to build, and they were family heirlooms, and they weren't just left on the ground because somebody decided to move, you know?
They were moved, forcibly moved.
They fled.
Nicole, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I wear several hats. I've worked for the past 2 or 3 years with my tribe on our legislation and for our Yuki tribe, and then I've been working with Save California Salmon and North Coast Native Protectors as a regional consultant for Southern Humboldt, Mendocino, Sonoma, and Lake County. And so, you know, during this time, you know, when we were finalizing our legislation and our initiative for our bill for our Yuki committee in Round Valley, you know, this came up. I started researching the coal mine, you know, just to give a little background of my interaction with this, finding out about the trail. You know, I've seen the news articles on the coal trail, so I started looking it up, and then all of a sudden this site popped up and a town hall meeting for the Great Redwood Trail. So, you know, I that night we had some tribal council meeting. I usually attend, and I went away from it and jumped onto this town hall meeting and was extremely offended that the agency was claiming that, you know, this was going to be the most profitable, best thing to ever happen in California because it was our land and it's going to be different than the other states who are all successful because it's our land. And it just was like a stab in my heart as we were finishing our bill that they were, you know, I was like, these are stolen lands. These are stolen public lands. And so I think, it's really important that we express, you know, the agency is very confused. And, you know, first it was, oh, well, it's public domain. Well, we are public people as well. So they get mixed up and don't understand that we fit all of the categories as tribal people. And that's why, you know, I came to help with this portion as well as a federally recognized tribe. They might try to push the tribes away that aren't federally recognized, but from my understanding with the state laws, you know, our unfederally recognized people have a lot more backing than the federal side does, but as a federally recognized tribe, you know, these are our tribal people and our territories as well, because Round Valley is the only federally recognized tribe that recognizes the Wailaki and the Yuki, not to take away from any of those other tribes, but, you know, we're here, I'm here to help support as a federally recognized Eel River tribal member. But, you know, now the agency is trying to flip it. Oh, well, this is a federal thing and it's federal land now. And it's like, well, okay, well, here you go. We are federal people. You know, so you got, they keep trying to push us out and say, oh, well, it's law. It was passed by legislation. Well, I have legislation too. I helped support and get our tribal legislation and set in hearings. And I know for a fact that there is a law that came after this agency and trail that says that the Yuki tribes and the tribes of Round Valley will be repatriated and will be included. And so, you know, I'm here to uphold not only our state law, but our trust responsibilities and make sure that these agencies understand that we are to be included. But, you know, just going back to that, what Jason is speaking on is, you know, some of these, the agency really believes that this is what we want. If they had come to us first, they would understand that, because they use these models of out-of-state Indians. They call the Eel River a canyon, and it's like, we're not the Grand Canyon. We're not the, you know, whatever other trails they have in these out-of-state tribal territories. They have this model that they think that we want all of our locations exploited, and we don't, and that's where we differ, and they completely missed that in our consultation. I don't know if it was intentional so that we couldn't speak on it, or if they just didn't know, because they act like they don't know the process. And you know, I would like to see, because of the safety concerns in Round Valley. I mean, the complex fire was very scary for my family when it was, you know, black, dark, pitch black, dark at 10 o'clock in the morning because of all the fire and the flames. And we don't have any safe ways out. We have, you know, missing people out there. And, you know, we want access to our lands and to be able to be out there. So if the safety portion takes, you know, allows for us to have trails and access, I'm for that. I just don't want it to, I would like for us to have the choice and to have the first access to decide where it goes, as well as the protection, the monitoring, and just let them know that we California people don't exploit ourselves and our tribes and our ancestors, whereas other tribes might do that. They might enjoy having people coming to learn and be running around in their trails, but that's not us. You know, we have a lot of healing to do first.
Healing is important, yes, definitely. Hey, what federal agencies are we talking about? What state agencies? Is anybody up on Who is the, other than the Board of Supervisors, and we've heard from the Board of Supervisors already, but are there other, you know, national parks involved, state parks involved, private lands involved, National Forest Service involved? I would imagine who else is involved here?
At this point, it's the State Coastal Conservancy, the Railroad Authority, some of California state parks, the Forest Service, and, you know, like Nicole was talking about it, there was no primary consultation. And this is a revisiting of the same thing that happened to Wailaki and Yuki people, I would imagine, 150 years ago, when they found one Indian person out by the river and asked them to sign some paper. And by that signature, they took all the land. So we've had multiple people from multiple different tribes come and say that their name had been written down as a tribal leader in support of these agencies. the Wildlands Conservancy, the State Coastal Conservancy, the Railroad Authority, that is putting it out there that we're in support of these things, or that our representatives are in support of these things, and they're not. They're not at all. They're talking about only the good points and economic drivers and things of that nature, and they're not talking about the things that are important to us. You know, we haven't even had an opportunity to go onto those private lands and hold ceremony for our people that were murdered there. Nobody's been out there to sing a song. Nobody's been out there to do anything for our people that are, you know, we don't know. For some of us, our people's spirits are still walking around out there because we haven't been able to do the things that it takes to get them to go where they need to go. And none of that's even brought into the conversation. We haven't even got there yet. And so none of this stuff should be happening. There should be no plan and process without proper consultation first.
I definitely agree. Hey, Perry, maybe you can talk about what happened at the Ukiah meeting.
At the Ukiah meeting, we had, I think there was about 10 people that had 3 minutes in the beginning. We weren't sure what was going to happen. So we got there and they welcomed us. The supervisors welcomed us and all that, and let us have 3 minutes. And I think there was, like I said, 10 people. And there was probably 15 of us all together. And then they had some other topics that they talked about. And then at the end, they had the Great Redwood Trail engineer person give this beautiful presentation. It was the, what do you call it, slideshow or the PowerPoint with beautiful pictures and language and just a great PowerPoint. But again, like Jason's saying, the guy was talking about working with 17 groups of Native people, and everybody was on board with this, blah, blah, blah. And we're all looking at each other like, we don't know this guy. Who is this guy? Never contacted none of us, you know. And so that was kind of like Nicole was saying, too, it's a slap in the face. Again, right after we just did our public comment, the guy's like, he didn't even hear us and just said, okay, I'm going to give this PowerPoint, and this is how it really was. And we're really glad that we were able to give that, because the supervisors didn't even know how we felt about it, you know. And then we were able to give comment afterwards, too. So everybody, you know, recapped on their comments after the guy from the engineer guy from a State Coastal Conservancy, well, the Redwood Trail, you know, did his presentation. So we're and I guess he's probably going to be there again at the supervisors meeting. I'm not sure what the Redwood Trail is going to do on their presentation part, but we're going to try to do the same exact thing, as maybe have some more voices from local tribes too. We out in Yurok, hopefully, and Blue Lake, and whoever comes out, you know.
Yeah, we probably need to do some pre-organizing to make sure those people are in attendance. You know, I think the supervisors in Humboldt County need to be appraised of what's going on in advance of the meeting, so they have some awareness. I don't know if Michael, if you're still on, and maybe you can comment about how we can assist that process.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been supporting Perry's Native Health and Native Hands, his nonprofit organization, to do some visiting the meetings like he's been talking about and doing that organizing. The one thing I wanted to add, to echo what everyone's been saying on this, and not the echo of the speakers, but the importance of cultural monitors as the project's going through. So whenever there's construction on any part of the trail, someone is out there to see when it goes to a village site in case any bones or artifacts are dug up, along with the importance of consistent and continuous consultation to all of the tribes along the trail. I think that's kind of what we've been saying here, is that also not just one letter or one meeting is sufficient to be consultation. It has to be continuous and consistent throughout the whole 10-year project, or however long it's going to continue. And then cultural monitors as well. Having someone there who understands the culture and the sites, and is able to see and identify artifacts that are important to tradition, culture, ceremony, anything along those lines. So that was the point I wanted to get across too.
Good.
Thank you. We just did a, I think it was 15-person monitoring training with Bill Rich, and we still need a little bit more training, but we had 15 Wailaki people at that training, so we're working on that too, our cultural monitors, like you're saying.
Can I also add that I just wanted to chime in about, you know, I also work for the Northern California Intertribal Court System, which is a consortium of three tribes, the Caddo Tribe, the Coyote Valley Tribe, and the Hopland Tribe. And so as the court operations clerk, I was invited to attend a meeting with the leaders to speak with the Board of Supervisors. And, you know, I just wanted to share that Maureen Mohorn, she, you know, we started talking about tribal engagement. And so this is, you know, one of my projects right now is to work on a tribal engagement policy for all of our tribes to come to these agencies and tell them this is how we are to be engaged. Because even though, you know, when we went to that Board of Supervisors meeting, there was like 17 to 20 of us, and the majority of us were federally recognized tribal members, and we had many TIPOs that were there from our tribes, from Sherwood and Redwood Valley. And, you know, we had a wide range of people, which was more than the number that they showed on their slips, on all their slides, presentations put together. You know, we had more natives in that meeting than they had even consulted in the last, I don't know, 5 years. So that was pretty, you know, that showed it, you know, the Board of Supervisors, she responded and she said, you know, I am glad that you showed up because, you know, we thought they were telling us they were consulting with you guys and we just believed them. If you hadn't shown up, we wouldn't have known. We would have just believed that, yes, they consulted with all these people if you all hadn't stood up and come and told us that they did it, and this was not okay. So I think it is very important for us to share and to be at these meetings and tell the supervisors and let them know this is what we expect. This is how we expect to be consulted.
Great. That's Nicole Whipple from Rhone Valley. And, you know, for our listening audience, it's, some great points made. You know, there's such a thing on international level they call free, prior, and informed consent. If it happens within our homelands, which this is happening within our homelands, we deserve consultation. We deserve free, prior, and informed consent on this. We need to have adequate information on what is going to take place, and they have to get our consent to move forward. We need to find out who the 17 Native groups are and figuring out, do they actually represent anybody?
Yeah. Chris?
Yes.
This is Richard. Can I interject? There needs to be a reset in this whole thing. You know, like it's been mentioned by a number of people speaking that there was no consultation from the ground up. It was like a creation that happened exactly how it's not supposed to in terms of cultural protection, in terms of consultation. There needs to be a reset for this Redwood Trail. The River Canyon is an obvious part that is especially important, and it needs to insist. And what Nicole mentioned, I think Nicole was mentioning that December meeting. You know, this meeting on Thursday is the board of directors of the Great Redwood Trail Agency, and they're connected to the California Coastal Conservancy. So I make a big pitch that people need to get together and interact, and as many people as possible be there to bring up things that were brought up in December in Ukiah, to bring them up again and add to it. It's 10:30 to 12:30 in the Eureka Humboldt County Council Chambers.
The Board of Supervisors.
Excuse me. It's in the Eureka City Council Chambers. Sorry. Eureka City Council Chambers this Thursday at, from 10:30 to 12:30. Thursday, the Redwood Agency Board of Directors is meeting.
Yeah, we definitely encourage people to show up, to be vocal, to be present at this meeting. So we would encourage other people. We also need to reach out and invite people to come, and maybe we can have a conversation with Perry or whomever is locally here to begin to have people cut out. Certainly, the Wiat tribe, if they're listening, certainly them need to be present at this meeting.
Well, it'd also be a good idea for us to, you know, our coalition that we have going on with Perry, and there's some tribal members, non-tribal members, you know, that are interested in this discussions. That if we can figure out how to call a meeting of all our tribes, you know, like I said, from the Yurok to the Miwok, and get an understanding, because the Great Redwood Trail Board is telling us that they sent out 37 letters to the tribal chairs of each tribe, and we have not heard from them, or we haven't heard their speaking about this. Their tribal officer kind of knows what goes on, but not really. So I saw somewhere I just read that says, if you want to know anything about Native American Indians, ask a Native American Indian, not an archaeologist. Yeah. You know, so they're missing that. They're missing that. Oh. Hey, Chris, my dad says, hello, Ernie Merrifield.
Good.
He just went cruising by with his cup of coffee. He didn't want to be on the video.
Oh, send him my regards, too. You know, we're looking at on a broader issue. Other tribes are asserting themselves in California about land back. And I think it's important here that we convert this issue into a land back issue, you know, and not necessarily just getting consultation, but you own it. Let's assert ownership again. Let's assert, it's a communal base that's communal ownership. Certainly with the effort we're working with the purchase of land back within Tule River, and they're looking at a huge amount of money. Michael is working with the Nevada Indian Rancheria in Eastern.
Yeah. Mishnan, yes, in Grass Valley for their land back as well.
Yeah. So, and we're looking here locally at some land back issues too. I think it's important that we combine efforts and assert ourselves. Perry, did you have a comment?
Yeah. I think Ted just texted me, Ted Hernandez from the Wiat tribe, and said, great interview. So at least he's listening to us, and I'll try, yeah, like you were saying, try to reach out more to local people, and talking to Ted a little bit more, because he and I are working on those canoes together out there. We haven't seen each other for a while, but I'll get a hold of him. I'm thinking he's already going to be at that meeting anyway, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, we can make sure that people are have a representative if they can't make it. You know, and represent their opinion firmly, and certainly the other tribes involved up and down the coast needs to be contacted. So we're willing to put some time into it. We're reaching at the end of the hour, and I know Richard has a few more things that you would like to add, but. We'd like to formally thank our guests who are concerned about the issue. You know, the issue is an important issue. The Great Redwood Trail is off to a bad start, and we need to be aware of that. They have ignored the consultation efforts, ignored the people who are directly impacted by the trail expansion, and you know, it's a new ball game. It's not a 1910, 1911, and 1912. It's a time of Native people asserting themselves and making sure that we have our input into the direction of things. And certainly the trail is a major issue. The trail, no matter how much economics it will produce, what's more important? You know, life as we knew it, life as we know it now, and certainly a conflict of cultures. You know, our belief systems are different than theirs. They need to realize that we have a responsibility for people who have our ancestors, you know, that they're being taken care of. And it's a concept in an American society that's overlooked completely. They have no contact with that. And there is a difference in culture that we need to exploit. We need to talk about. We need to be aware of it. They need to be aware of it. So any final comments that you want to make?
Well, I would like to make one. from your hosts, and that's that for years now, I have been dismayed that the agencies with which you are dealing have no concern for their own past as well. There are treasures of manual capacity. The people who taught me how to build, how to carve, how to care for the land made the early roads that led into the highway system that you so correctly recognize as being the trails that are already in place by the new coming cultures from elsewhere on the planet. And they turn right around and want to destroy every one of the old bridges that were built in the early part of the 20th century. They want to tear down all the stone walls and replace them with something else. The whole history of the development of the capacity that we have to make things is being erased as if the past doesn't matter to these people at all. I wish you the best of luck facing that down and realizing what a treasure our past is, that it gave us what we are now, and it's the key to how to build our future.
Thank you, Jeff, and I think that's an important issue that we talked about earlier around climate change, looking at what ancestors, how important ancestors are in contemporary life, and totally ignoring that is part of the problem that we're facing. You know, part of the problem that exists in society today, and that's primarily climate change. You know, they're ignoring what has gone on, ignoring Native peoples and what we have to stop it. You know, certainly, you know, the continued mining development in this country has to slow down, has to stop. Fossil fuels have to stop. And the replacements for fossil fuels has to be looked at a little closer.
Yeah. Climate change means cultural change, and it really has to happen. And I want to thank you all for being here. Each could a little bit of a final note if you wanted to. I just wanted to bring up the fact we need to do this same thing with a focus on Jackson Demonstration State Forest. And there's a number of other issues, too. You know, this kind of a forum with Indian people bringing up the perspectives that have been brought up in regards especially the Redwood Trail today. But there's things going on elsewhere that people need to get up to speed on. And being at the ground floor, Newsom's thing about co-management for state-owned lands. There's a state-owned right-of-way on this railroad track, I believe, and that's supposed to be 50-50 co-management. You know, that's at the base. Thank you all.
Well, thank you for allowing us to be on the program, and we look forward to future events. We encourage people to turn out to the meeting at the Eureka Council Chambers on Thursday at 10 a.m.
Maybe a quick word from all the guests there.
Okay. Do you have the address again?
Oh, boy, that's on the 5th Street. It's couple blocks north of the county courthouse.
Yes. So thank you for being a part.